Father, we thank you for tonight. We ask that you have your way. Our earnest desire tonight is that we will find a shift, this transition, that we alter the possibilities of your spirit and the experiences that we've had even in our walk with you. We ask that men will find encounters. We ask that men will experience transitions and come into new spheres of spiritual experience. Lord, do this and take all the glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sit down for a moment. I want to take you on a journey this evening. I want to build with a few scriptures tonight, even as I attempt to lay the foundation for what we'll be doing in the course of this conference. When God created man, you must have heard me say this before, there was no being in the universes of God that God decided to create man after. Man is the youngest being in the family of God. Before man was ever created, God had a very robust family. And there are other creatures in the family of God. In our study of scriptures, looking from the book of Revelation in particular, you discover that even among the angels, there are some angels that are called elders. Because the ranking is not the same. They are all spirits. And you know that because they are spirits, their reference is not chronological time. Yet, among spirits, there are certain spirits that recognize other spirits as elders. And so we see the 20 and 4 elders that tabernacle with God in the throne room. And then we hear of archangels. That means among angels, there are some angels that are first. Because not every angel is at the same cadre. So there are some angels that are called arch. That means they are first in the rank of such angels. And among the archangels, there are some that are called chief princes. Because even in the realms of thrones, there are stratas by which these beings are rated. And all of this civilization continued in the spirit realm before God decided to create man. So in the family of God, man is actually the youngest being. And when I say man, I'm talking about the entire species of man. And because man is the youngest being, you would expect that naturally, God would want to create man after the other beings that have excelled. Because all of these beings have their records in God. The Bible speaks of the excellency of each being that have served God. They have their records and they have levels of honor that they enjoy in the realm of God. And then you would assume that God would have decided to create man, maybe after the order of the elders, because of the level they served God and the kind of honor they enjoy in the realm of God. You would assume that God would have created man maybe in the order of an archangel because of how he has excelled. But when God wanted to create man, there was no specie in the realm of God that man could be mirrored after. And so God decided to create man after himself. The moment God decided to create man after himself, God removed every known limitation from man. And so anywhere a man is functioning, He's the one who determines that level. Man is the only being created without limitation, because he was created in the order of God. He said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. The word dominion is the word kurios. And what that word means is dimensions of authority, excelling dimensions of authority. So anywhere a man functions is no longer a function of God. It's a choice of that man. So where you are today is a product of your choices aggregated together. Your experience today is a product of the aggregation of the choices you have made over time. Because God removed limitations from you the day he created you. You will decide to put a limitation on yourself or to remove it. This is why we came for a conference like this. Because in transition, we are trying to find out the highest possibility, the pinnacle, the pitch, the zenith, where our life can crescendo to. So when you come for a conference like this, even the preacher can become a limitation. Because you are actually trying to see where you will zenith, you will crescendo your experience to. Because you have realized that there is no limitation as far as your spiritual experience is concerned. I can open a lot of scriptures to reveal to you how important man is in divine order and divine cadence. When God decided to give himself a form, you know, God is without form. Those who are in heaven know that no form could be placed on God. I have taught many times that the 24 elders, they look at him every moment, but they've never been able to capture any form. That's why they call him holy. The word holy actually means you are separated into your own class. They don't know how to place him. So when they look at him, every time they see him, they see a different dimension. That's why they call him holy. The word holy is not a religious term. It's actually a term that distinguishes a man into a class that cannot be stratified. So when they call him holy, it's a function of their bewilderment every time they look at him. So God, the Bible said, is without form. So when he spoke to Moses, he said to ensure, to warn the children of Israel, that they do not create any graven image to mimic him. Because when he met him, he was without form. But when God decided to give himself a form, he didn't choose the form of an archangel. When he decided to give himself a form, he didn't choose the form of the 24 elders. Meanwhile, if you went into heaven for a moment, you will see creatures that will blow your mind. When John was carried to heaven, the first beings he saw, he fainted. He saw four creatures that had four faces. He said one of them had the face of a lion, the face of the eagle, the face of an ox, and the face of a man. So he saw a being that had four heads, and the four heads represent four different creatures. He fainted. There are many terrible beings in heaven that God would have chosen to take their form in order to look glorious. But when God decided to take a form, the form he chose for himself was the form of man. Because man is the only creature that is without limitation. If God chose the form of an archangel, he would have placed a limitation on himself. So he decided to choose the form of man, because man was actually the only being created in his likeness. That is a statement to you as a mortal, that where you are today is not a function of God. It's a function of you. You know what religion will make you think is that you are where you are because God chose for you to be there. I came to deliver you from that religion. That God is not the one that has put you where you are. Your choices have put you where you are. And so in a conference where we hope to transition, one of the things we need to do is to doctor the quality of our choices in order to improve our experience as mortals. Because you were created without limitation. Your only limitation is God. And so the extent to which God can go is the extent to which you can go. He said you were created in his image and in his likeness. If you want to truly transition, There are three aspects of your life that must be touched. You know, we're out of time today, so I just want to establish foundations. If I ascend, things will happen and you will not get the point. What you want to consider is beyond an impartation, is to open your eyes to your reality. You know, Paul was journeying in the wrong direction, exerting energy, but there was a scale in his eyes. And I have taught before that if you are in the wrong direction, speed is not an advantage. And so when Ananias came to him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Jesus that appeared to you have sent me to you." The moment the scales fell off his eyes, Paul became the greatest of all the apostles. God is not your limitation. Your choices are your limitations. And so if you want to transition, truly transition, there are three aspects of your life that something must happen to. And that's what I want to talk about briefly tonight. And then I'll allow us the opportunity to pray. And then I'll pray for some persons and we'll leave. The first aspect of your life that must be doctored is your mind. In Proverbs chapter 23 verse 7, the Bible said, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." I can assure you today that some of the most powerful men are not known. Some of the most powerful men are highly underutilized. Meanwhile, there are certain men today who are fully maximized, not because they have so much to offer, but they have a kind of mindset that makes it impossible for what they carry to be undermined. When a man cannot make impact in a generation, it's not necessarily because he's powerless. It's actually because his mind is a boundary of his experience. If a man's mind is stunted, even God can't help him. When God wants to help a man, the first thing he does for him is that he begins to open the boundaries of his mind. You may think that you will become relevant today if the power, the measure of power in your life increases. If your mind does not upgrade, you can't be anything, even if you raise the dead. There are many people who raise the dead, they are not known. There are many people who raise the dead, they have no impact. The reason Africa is behind, it's not because we are the least gifted. I can assure you today, most of the nations making impact, their cardinal ingredients are Africans. But because there is something wrong with the mindset, even if you have the greatest asset, you are the most defeated. The first pointer to a paradigm shift in a man's life is when his minds begin to enlarge. Let me shock you from certain scriptures so that you know that your problem is not power. Because most times when we gather, we assume that our problem is power. There are three foundations of power that you will find in scripture. The first foundation of power that you will find in scripture is to be born again. Because when you are born again, you are brought into the heritage of the king. Everything God owns becomes yours. In fact, it took power for you to be born. You were not born because God chose to. He took power for you to be born. In John chapter 1 from verse 11, he said he came unto his own received him not. He said, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. So everybody who is a believer, who is born again, carries more than enough power that he will ever need in life. I can assure you that every one of us sitting here today, if your eyes were to open, you will carry out a feat of power that you will be amazed. Was this thing in me? Did you read Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20? It says God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to what? The power that is at work in you. There is already a power that has been credited into your spirit. Your problem has never been the problem of power. The day you were born again, you had both dunamis and exousia. You had both power to create change and authority to change things. From the day you got born again. In fact, in Romans chapter 8 verse 17, it said, if we are children, then we are heirs. If we are heirs, then we are joint heirs with Christ. So the same authority and power that Jesus has is what you carry as a believer. Your limitation has never been power. The second foundation of power in scripture is the person of the Holy Spirit at work on your inside. He said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said, and thou shalt receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in all the parts of the earth. Do you have the Holy Spirit? The day the Holy Ghost came, he came with power. The proof that a man has the Holy Ghost is not speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is a spiritual mechanism of stirring the power that is in you. The proof that a man has the Holy Spirit is the power of God that comes upon him. That power, first of all, put the life of God on his inside, and that power secondly energizes him to carry out God's assignment. And I can assure you that 80% of the people seated here today have the Holy Spirit. So their challenge is not power. The third foundation of power is faith. He said, if you have faith as tiny as a grain of a mustard seed, he said, you will command this mountain to be removed. And if you do not doubt in your heart, he said, the mountain will be removed. And then you're asking yourself, I wish I had enough faith. You don't need to generate any faith. In Romans chapter 12 verse 3, he said, unto every one of us is dealt with the measure of faith. So everyone seated here has enough faith to raise mountains, to remove mountains. You are born again, you have the Holy Spirit, you have faith. Your problem has never been power. Your problem has always been your mind. You don't think you should be the one. You don't think you are good enough. Do you know why I'm following this route? Most of you came with excitement because you want to see the apostle. You think by seeing the apostle, something will happen to you. You think by touching the apostle, something will happen to you. Hey, help you. You think by touching the apostle, something will happen to you. But there is something that you already carry, but your mind will never allow you to manifest it. So even when you fast for 40 days, you are assuming there is something else that should be done. If they call you today and say, come and represent Ghana, the first thing you will think of is, I'm not qualified. It can't be me. And that your defeated mindset, even though favor have located you, you will disqualify yourself. The greatest challenge of the believer and what makes it impossible for him to cover enough mileage is the lack of the right mindset. Our minds have put us in a chain. There was a proverb. It's the story of a proverbial elephant. It said he was tied to a tree for many years. And when he tries to move, there is a distance he can't cover. So after being there for a period of time, they remove the rope. Even after they remove the rope, the elephant could not go beyond that spot. He will go there and stop because there was an imaginary chain in his mind. The reason you need a change of mindset for you to transition is because while you were in sin, while you were a Ghanaian, not a citizen of Zion, because when you got born again, you changed citizenship. You stopped being a Ghanaian, you became a citizen of Zion, a participant of the spirit of judgment made perfect. You stopped living in Volta, you started living in heaven, only representing heaven in Volta. But because you were in sin for long, it is now difficult for you to see yourself as a citizen of Zion. So even though God tells you, you have the Holy Ghost, you have faith, you can't believe that it will be you who will change Ghana. You can't believe that it will be you who will take the testimonies of God to the ends of the earth. So the whole power in the universe has already been given to you, but you are still limited. You are like that proverbial elephant. So the first thing that will happen to you for transition to take place is not an impartation. It's a change of mindset. And for the change of mindset to happen, you need to hear the oracles of God. And one thing the oracles of God comes to tell you is that you are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. God's own special. Hear this. You are not a special citizen of the president. That would have been beautiful. Imagine my friend is a politician. If you have a relationship with the president, that's a great advantage. Imagine if they were in a convention and the president calls you by name. Ah! You will make new friends that day because the president knows your name. But the scripture is trying to show you something that you can't see. Because when you are reading the scripture, you are still beclouded by religion. And this is how religion works. Religion will make you convert what the Bible calls present tense to past tense. And it will make you convert what the Bible calls present tense to futuristic tense. You will never put it in the present. You know, when Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, if you believe in me, you will come back to life. He said, even if you were dead, you will rise again. He was telling him a present day reality. But what did the lady say? He said, I know that at the resurrection. I'm not talking about the resurrection. I'm not talking about a day. I'm talking about a person. The resurrection is with you. You are postponing your reality to the end of time. When a man wants to be delivered from his chain of mind, the first thing that happens to him is that he begins to put things in the right context. And the first context you need to put things is that, number one, you are God's best. Number two, you can do whatever God says to do now. Number three, you are the hope that the world is waiting for. It is not an apostle coming from anywhere. It's not about going to a mountain first. It's not about a tongue exercise first. It's not about a long fasting. It is first of all you realizing now and today that you are God's special creation. And everything God wants to do, He wants to do with you today and now. And if there is anything God will do in this nation tomorrow, it's because you will rise today. If those things don't happen, everything we say, you will hear it, you will jump, you will shout, but you will never become it. Because the chain of the mind comes to disqualify you. This is why we meditate on scripture. We don't meditate on scripture so that we can quote. We don't meditate on scripture so that we'll have many rema. We meditate on scripture so that our mental faculty can be reconstructed. Because the scriptures come to give you illumination. The scripture come to redefine yourself to you because you don't know yourself. You thought you were poor because that is the story your family told you. You thought you were sick because that's the story your environment told you. You thought you were defeated because that's the story your circumstances told you. But when you look into the scripture will tell you, first, you are not primarily from your family, that you came from the family of God. When you look into the scripture will tell you are not what your environment calls you. There is another name that your designer called you. And until you begin to walk in that name, messages will only come to excite you. If I begin to talk about mystical things now, everybody will be shouting. But how will it profit you if you don't first of all realize that today and now you are God's choice? How can it profit you? You know, it's a transition conference, and I say I want to lay foundation. How can it profit you if you think the hope of Ghana will come from somewhere else and not you? How can it profit you if you think revival will come from somewhere else and not you? How can it profit you if you think the solution we are looking for is in another place and not with you? No man transits except as there is a mental shift. And the mental shift begins from you discovering who God says you are. And when you discover who God says you are, you take it the way God says it. Your job is to believe it. God's job is to perform it. And I will tell you, you will battle this thing until it becomes real. 4 days ago or 5 days ago, I went to preach about divine health. And I spoke some very powerful words. So powerful that if you heard it, you would think I was arrogant. Just professing and releasing my faith. And when I went back home, I just took off my dress to go take a shower. And instantly, there was a paralyzing pain that hit me from my backbone down to my waist. I couldn't even bend down. And the moment the pain hit me, fear hit my heart. Because the devil will open all of those channels for you to give allowance to it if your mind has not been doctored. You know, he said, giving no place to the devil. Fear hit my heart. What would I have said? Is this paralysis? He was waiting for me to accommodate it. And instantly, because my mind had been prepared for battle. It is not about a message we preach from the altar. It's a life we live, because as you begin, you will discover that this is warfare. You will live here today and say, I am the hope of Ghana. And suddenly, calamity will come from everywhere. The idea is because they want to stop you from thinking like that. Because the moment you begin to think like that, you begin to generate power. The spirit know it, that it's according to what you think before what you say. So they will never let you think what you ought to think. They would accept it when you hail somebody. They will accept it when you look up to somebody. But the moment you want to look within and say the answer is here, they begin to fight you. And I would have become paralyzed. The pain struck me. I couldn't bend. And instantly, I said, no, we don't fall sick. We don't fall sick. I said, no, we don't fall sick. Let no one in Zion say, I'm sick. I can't be sick. I started fighting it from the mind. The pain was in my back, but my solution began from my head. A lot of believers don't know it. They think paradigm shift is about coming to release power, laying hands on them. If nothing happens to your mind, there will be a problem. No matter the impartation you receive, you will go back to where you came from. It has to begin from here. We don't fall sick. See what you baby believers do. When you talk like that, they are waiting for something to go wrong. And when something goes wrong, they'll say, we said it. They were arrogant people. They were arrogant people. I have told myself again and again that I can't be involved in an accident. Even if the devil plants it, something will shift it away. I've told myself, see, there are things I believe. Right now, for me to fail, I have to go back and meditate for at least 2 years to be able to believe I will fail. I'm telling you, you have to retrain me to believe that I can fail. As I'm talking to you now, if I want the power of God to start moving, I can make it happen now. Not because an angel will enter this building. I have come to know that I carry so much power that any time I want to release it, I can release it. Anytime. I will literally contain myself. That's how paradigm shift begins. Sometimes you lock yourself in your room. We call it contemplation. There is something it does for you. When you begin to contemplate on the word of God, as you contemplate, you begin to generate pictures. When you read the story of David, see what you will do. Remove David from the Bible and put yourself there. That's how we do contemplation. When you read the story of Paul the Apostle, remove Paul the Apostle from the Bible, put yourself there. He said handkerchiefs and aprons were taken from the body of Paul. And when they touched the sick were healed. When you are reading it, quietly and honorably, respectfully remove Paul from there. And put yourself in that place. Think on it, meditate on it, until you see yourself, handkerchiefs being carried from you. And they begin to cast out demons. That is what Christianity is about. It's not to read it and come to quote it. The scriptures you have been quoting, how many of them have changed your life? They told you David came before Goliath, the giant of Gath. He was 9 feet tall. He had 6 toes and 6 fingers. And when he showed up, the young man was not afraid. And then you remove David from there, you put yourself there. Your heart will break. If you are able to picture Goliath first. So when you are studying the Bible, don't be in a rush. I'm coming to teach you. These are powerful spiritual principles. When you are reading the story of Goliath, take time to understand the specifications of Goliath and create that mental picture in your head. And then take time to create your own picture and put yourself before Goliath. You will see that he is 3 times taller than you. Don't rush. Look at his 5-6 fingers. Look at his 6 toes and see Goliath shouting and see the way the army of Israel was fidgeting. A whole army was afraid before one man. And then a little boy shows up with the right mindset. And then he stood. How was he not intimidated? How can you stand before a man 3 times taller than you and you are not intimidated? You will put yourself there. It may take 3 days for that scripture to enter you. Because you can't imagine it. But when you do it again and again, a day will come. Any scripture you read, you enter there. And after a while, you will discover this is not a mental thing at all. Because your mind is a gateway to reality. When you meditate, a point will come. You will now discover that you will begin to literally travel to those places. The first person I heard it from was Pastor Chris. He said most of the scriptures he saw, he has gone there. What? I said, is this how this works? I will carry a scripture. And then you see that Jesus came. A woman was bent over and he stood. I'm imagining how he stood. Ought not this woman, being the daughter of Abraham, who has been bound these 18 years to be set free. Woman, thou art loose. I'll say, thank you, Jesus Christ. I will remove Jesus from the scripture and I'll put myself there. And then I will find myself standing before a woman who was bent over. And I will say the same thing Jesus said. everything, when we come out and you see us walking, it's not an act for the stage. It's the pictures we have seen in the spirit. So when we come out, we play it out. When we are going to lay hands on people, sometimes we stand, we stretch our hand. We have seen this thing in our mind 1,001 times. And when we play it out, it must work. That's where paradigm begins from. You want to be a politician and you are looking for who to follow. No, that's not where to start. First of all, take time to look. Go and search on Google and see what the office of your president looks like. And when you see that office, put the picture in your head. Come and sit at home. And for 2 weeks, see yourself sitting in that chair. That's transition. See yourself sitting in that chair. When you sit there for a long time, a point will come. You will now travel there. You must go there first in your mind. If these things don't happen, the impartations will be a waste. I can talk to you from my reality. The power of God will hit on people here, but you may never transit. You see yourself as an evangelist? God told me I will function like Reinhard Bonnke. I paid my last cash to go to his last crusade in Lagos. I just wanted to watch how the man ministers. I just wanted to see what he does. And then when I sit down, every day, I'm seeing myself come for meeting. A stadium was packed. A stadium is packed. I will see myself in my mind. I'm coming for the meeting. There's no place to enter. They are smuggling me into the meeting. They don't have a space. Sometimes I see myself being landed in the meeting on a chopper. And I'm creating these images. I'm seeing myself saying the name of Jesus and 10 cripples stand up. And I'm painting this picture. As I'm painting this picture, I'm generating power. And gradually, it's happening. Do you think you just came here to fill this auditorium by chance? I saw you many years ago. It didn't happen today. That's why when I walked in, I was not surprised. I saw you many years ago. How did God give Abraham a child? In Genesis 15 from verse 5 to 6, he said God wanted him to be a father of many nations, but the man couldn't see it. So God had to take him out and showed him the stars. He said, if you can number this, so shall thy seed be. And the Bible said for the first time, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. You come to church, there are 10 people and you are offended. No, don't be offended. There are 10 people. All those empty seats, when you are praying, you are seeing people fill those seats. You are seeing overflows. And then you are seeing that the hall is not enough. You are creating those pictures. That's how God works. He said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he said the earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Bible said the Spirit of God was hovering upon the face of the deep. What was God doing? We call it incubation. God was picturing what he wanted to create. Because if you can't see it, you can't have it. Transitions begin with paradigm shift of the mind. And the way you move your mind is to create those pictures. It doesn't cost anything to create the picture. You may be an evangelist. Every day you sit down, you see yourself commanding cripples, they are walking. Never see yourself in an auditorium. You have limited your destiny. When you see yourself as an evangelist, see yourself in stadiums and don't even see Ghana. When you are seeing yourself in a stadium, be seeing O2 Arena in London. Be seeing Punjab, Pakistan. Be seeing India. After a while, the doors of those nations will open. You will find yourself the day you come there. Only you and the Holy Ghost will be smiling. People will not understand what is happening. The reason is because you have been there 1,001 times. These are transitions take place. Too many times we allow death in our minds. Because that time you thought failure, you actually took a capsule of death. That time you thought evil, you actually took a capsule of death. That time you thought defeat, you swallowed a capsule of death. Every time you see anything that is not consistent with what you want, remove it from your mind. Don't leave it. It will grow into a tree. That's why I said casting down imaginations. Don't leave them. You will think you are just thinking. You are not just thinking. You were created in the image of a creator. And so everything you think can become created. So he said casting down imaginations
and every high standing philosophy of the mind that upholds itself above the knowledge of God. Never accept defeat. If somebody tells you refuse it, they can call it arrogance. That's their business. You are securing your future. Don't allow people to get you to a tight corner in your mind. It begins from the mind. He said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. How come you say you are a footballer and you have never seen yourself playing with Messi? You have seen yourself playing with Black Stars of Ghana. You will remain in Ghana. When you are thinking, find yourself playing with Messi and be angry with Ronaldo that he didn't give you the pass. In your mind, you are offended at Ronaldo. Why did you give me the pass? And then you don't know how God operates. See, the people in the demonic world know. Why do you think the devil keep puncturing evil thoughts in your head? Why do you think the devil keep bringing negative thoughts? Because the devil knows you were created in the image of a creator. And he knows creation begins from the mind. So if he puts it there, after a while you will create it. And so instead of waiting for the devil to put a thought, you plant it yourself. I'm a footballer. If I were to have one ambition of being a footballer, I would have played with every star in my head. And if I'm playing with Ronaldo, I will score more than him. Because it's in my head. I'm telling you. See the ministry. Why do you think many people are struggling in ministry? Because they are thinking struggle. They tell you they can't pay this bill. And you go and lie down. You are crying. No. You can't pay these bills. You tell yourself, we are about to leave this auditorium. It's too small for us. It's too small. That's why we can't be here anymore. You say you are hoping to be a healing evangelist. And you have not raised cripples in your mind. Who told you you will ever raise them in the natural? You have not opened deaf ears in your mind. You have not opened blind eyes in your mind. And you are thinking you will ever raise the dead. It will never happen. Because your reality begins from your mind. That's why God put it there. You are a businessman. You are still seeing yourself in one shop. It begins here. As a man thinketh in his mind, so is he. There are many things I will teach you tomorrow. But these are basic foundation. And I'm keeping it basic so you can understand it. The reason you have the Bible is to help you think. Is to help you create pictures. That's why they wrote stories there. They didn't write stories for you to talk about them. They wrote those stories so you can put yourself there too. Because if God did it with one, he can do it with you. He sent his word to Jacob, a lighting upon Israel. The things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, so that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. I'm not just reading about Paul to talk about Paul. I'm not reading about Peter to talk about Peter. When I read Paul, I become Paul. When I read Peter, I become Peter. When I read Jesus, I become Jesus. I'm not a theologian. I'm trying to enter an experience. And they are showing me those who walked in it so that I can believe. You are not ordinary. Paul was speaking in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13. He said, according as it is written, they believe and have spoken. He said, we, having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. What was Paul saying? If Daniel can prophesy, I can also prophesy. If Jesus raised the dead, I will also raise the dead. Because if he didn't want me to do it, there wouldn't have been need to write it down. The Holy Ghost would have told me everything, but they wrote it. So, what you will do after this conference, you will carry the picture, the scripture, and you start painting pictures in your mind. When you want to prophesy, you go into Isaiah. When you want to prophesy, you go into Ezekiel. Ezekiel will tell you, Oh my God, he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I saw. You close your eye and you begin to see. You saw. If you see after a while, that thing will come there. That's why he wrote it for you. If we don't know these things, conferences will become religious exercises. You will come, a man will manifest, and you will talk about it. How about you? Elohim Adonai.
Elohim, Elohim Adonai. Elohim, Elohim Adonai. Elohim, Elohim Adonai.
Hear me. 80% of us here are young people. Don't fill your mind with immorality. You will find yourself fornicating every day. Your destiny is not fornication. Don't fill your mind with fear. You will never take both steps for destiny. Don't fill your mind with evil. The devil knows that your mind is a chamber of life. That's why he said, guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. The devil knows that reality is incubated in the mind. So he will put pressure on you to choke it with evil. Today, if they want to advertise razor blade, they use a naked man. They want to advertise soap, they use a naked woman. They want to find a gateway into your mind. When you see those things, turn away and plant something else. Plant something else. Saturate your mind. Sometimes see yourself come into your bedroom and it's loaded with dollars. It's loaded with dollars. Not cities, dollars. And then see yourself sponsoring crusade in Afghanistan. See yourself buying lands and properties. In your head, go to an open field. 10 people are working with you. You are giving them instruction. You are giving them instruction. When you finish, go and sleep. And when you wake up like a king. You will be amazed. The transition you will enjoy in 3 months. I'm telling you why you meet great men, yet nothing happens. Why you receive impartation, yet nothing happens. Because the womb of life is not functional. Your mind is a womb. Don't let any nonsense get there. And consciously put things there. That's where Christianity. I tell people all the time, Christianity must be practiced. You are having a difficulty walking. Before you look for a man of God to pray for you, see yourself running. See yourself running. There is a growth on your body. It's not living. Find that place flat and new before you start seeking somebody to pray for you. Create the reality first, and you will see how easy it will look. It will be for you to transition. You are not weak. You are not defeated. Your mind told you you are. And the beautiful thing is that your mind functions based on the data you put there. So you can determine how you think by planting a new set of information. I will pray for the sick here this evening. And we will not use sound. We will not use anything. We will not shout. I will just get you to where I want. And we will talk to growth. Growth will vanish. We will talk to pains. Pains will go. Because as I'm talking now, some people who couldn't walk, they are already seeing themselves running. As I'm talking now, some people who were feeling pains, they are already seeing the pains going. As I'm talking now, people who have growth on their body, they are already seeing the growth disappear. So when we pray, we will just activate what they have created. Please sit down. These are basics. But people are not taught. They are not taught. See the way the psalmist psyched himself. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. A man have not gone through life. He said, he shall not want. Do you know that you can you interpret the vast fluctuations and vicissitude of life? How dare you, a young man, you say you will never want? Do you know the future? If I can get myself to think and believe it, then I have created it. And he said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He's telling himself, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. It's not God that told David, I'm with you. He's the one telling God, you are with me. Meanwhile, you, the Bible told you already, that the Holy Ghost has come to be in you and with you forever. Yet you are afraid. But here is a man whom God didn't tell he would be with. He is the one telling God, you are with me. Mindset. Mindset. Do you know many people fail exam because they saw themselves failing before the exam came? Many are defeated in life because they saw themselves defeated even before they started living. God told you, you are an apostle. And then you are thinking failure. Somebody say, always start small. Start small. Small is a function of species. Because the small of an ant is different from the small of an elephant. The small of an elephant is bigger than the biggest of an ant. So when you say small is a function of species, you are of the God class. So your own kind of small is the God kind of small. And when God created the universe, he was creating something small. Mindset. That's how paradigm shifts begin. You want a transition? It's not just about an impartation. There must be a change of mindset. Most of you will leave this conference. In the next 1 month, you will reprogram yourself. You will reprogram yourself because they have planted fear in your mind. They have planted uncertainty in your mind. They have planted fear. Do you know many ladies today are afraid they won't get married? The moment they are 18 years, they start living in fear. Oh, in 2 months, I'll be 19. Who will marry me? You? You will sit down and find yourself smiling that 4 suitors came one day. You will see, you will create it, paint it until you will enforce it. That's how we live. While we were in the cave, we were talking the word. We said we will shake this world. We will shake this world. I knew, I told my sisters at a very young age, I say, I will give you people blank checks. I will give you blank checks, blank. I will give you a check, fill any amount, go and cash it. I told them as a young boy. Do you know the position I am? I have 4 elder sisters. 1 elder brother. I'm the 6th. I'm telling the 1st, I will give you a blank check. If a generation will rise that will take Africa from obscurity, then something must start from their mind. It's not glorious for 10,000 people to stand and applaud one man. All of us must rise in our various order. Your rising does not stop my rising. My doctrine should not cripple you. It should empower you. There's something in you that your generation is waiting for. It doesn't matter if you are boy or girl. It doesn't matter if you are young or old. It doesn't matter if you are white or black. There is a power that is in your mind. And you must activate it. There will be a transition. How can a carpenter become the savior of the world? How? But as a child, he said, why are you looking for me? Don't you know I must be about my father's business? Which 12-year-old talks like that? They oppress us in Africa, intimidate us so much that you can't even speak when you know what to say. There's a difference between humility and timidity. We have replaced timidity with humility. When we are in Africa, our doctrine is different. But when we travel out, our doctrine changes. When you come to Africa, you can't even as much as come close to a man of God. But the same man of God goes to America and is working with people. Everybody is talking, shaking people, counseling with people. What is the difference? Somebody tell yourself, I'm a king. I am the child of the king. Only the best is good enough for me. And it's not once, always. I always have the best. I always have the best. I always deserve the best. Because God made it so. That's how it starts. the right mindset. Speak in tongues for 1 minute. Energize what you have heard. Adia. You know, I just want to teach principles. I don't want an atmosphere. But sometimes you can't help it. You can't help it because you know it so much that every time you want to ascend, the cloud begins to tick. It begins to tick. Because what I'm seeing now is that there is a dew falling. There's a dew. And see, the Holy Ghost is touching people. He's just touching them. I tampered with the atmosphere a little. There are 7 people that the dew will touch them. It will touch them. Because as they are hearing, God is creating it already. These ones will not wait for 1 week. They will not wait for 1 month. Even while we are yet speaking, the hand of God, the Bible said, was upon Elijah. And he outran the chariots of Ahab. As I speak, I animate those dimensions. Leadership. These are not preachers, but I'm seeing a new breed of government agents and government functionaries, men of power, men of authority, men of dominion. Aprons have been worn there, as you see. People that will enter authority and change the status quo. Sit down. We're out of time. Help those under the anointing. Just help them. You will leave this conference. Your life will never be the same again. Most of you will make progress in 3 months that you have not made in 10 years. Because there will be such a rapid and intensive shift. You will just leave the back and come to leadership. You will come from nowhere and become the man on the scene by the hand of God. The spirit of fear and timidity is already being arrested. The spirit of fear. I'm seeing ladies, there is a power falling. Those of you who are sisters, please be sensitive. There's a power. About to fall in this place to break chains from the minds of sisters. The spirit of fear and timidity.
You ancient Zion King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne.
Namashana gata,
Namabahamia, Namabahamia,
you ancient Zion King, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne.
Hear me. We have hit the crescendo in the spirit. The hand of God will come upon 17 persons. Please bring them for me. I want to touch them. Such as I have. Young leaders that will change status quo. Men that will shift atmospheres. Men that will establish new order. Reconstruct civilizations and open destinies. Keepers of gates. Watchers over territories. Custodians of dimensions. In the name of Jesus, I bring you that impartation. I bring you that impartation. Holy Ghost, find them within and outside this region. From the nations of Ghana to the ends of the earth, doors of nations open to you now. I speak it forth. I create it by the Spirit. I create it by the Spirit. Barakata Kazuza, Baragatada Kazunda, Eliana Tatak. Ragiata da Tatina Santa, Alelo Sapanata, Ragiata Ponda Tati, Ragiata Sapanata, Tatuna Samaka, Kado,
Kado,
Kado, have been handed over. There are too many things working in the spirit that men have not been able to lay hold on them. He said to Jeremiah, say not that I'm too young. It is an ancient spirit that is mantling you, a grace that is beyond your learning. You are summoned into possibilities that existed before time began. The summon of a king is a calling into dimensions eternal. And so I call you forth by the Spirit.
You are mighty on your throne.
You are mighty on your throne. You are mighty on your throne. You are mighty on your throne. You are mighty on your throne. You are mighty on your throne. You are mighty on your throne. You are mighty on your throne.
Please, those of you to my right, lift your hands toward heaven. There's a fiery dimension about to rest on some of you. It's a violent dimension on God's favor. I see fire raining down. And so there's an ordination, the seraphic ordination, the seraphic dimensions of ordination. In the name of Jesus, everyone implicated right now, I bring you into that order. Puritans, Holy Ghost, touch. Ziza Brando Sabate. Aya. Bando Rakibo Takavade.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So many oppressions have begun in the spirit. Oppressions of the spirit. Celestial oppressions.
You are mighty on your throne. Mighty on your throne.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Kadosh,
you are mighty on your throne.
Oh, I'm seeing gatekeepers arise. Mantles have been handed to people. Some we mount gates of time. Some we mount gates of commerce. Some we mount gates of government. Some we mount gates of academia. The academia. Gatekeepers.
Yes.
When you speak, you will change things.
Stay on your throne. Please be seated. In Jesus' name. I just want to share principles with you tonight. In the name of Jesus. Don't joke with your mind. The first place every spirit is contending to take over is your mind. When you read Acts chapter 2 verse 4, the amplified version, it was their mind that the activity of the Holy Ghost began from. Every spirit wants to rule your mind. Because if they succeed, they will rule your destiny. Ah, time is a body. I'll round up in 5 minutes. The second thing that makes for a paradigm shift is your language. Your mind is the incubation ground for your possibilities. Your language is the force that brings it to pass. That's why it said in Ephesians 3:20, God is able to do exceeding above all you can ask or think. When you speak, spirits hear. It said, I the Lord, Isaiah 44:26, I confirm the words of my servants and the counsels of my messengers. In Joshua 1:8, it said, this book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth. Meditate upon it. The word meditate is the word hagar. It means mortify it day and night and observe to do what is written therein. He said, then you shall make your way prosperous. He didn't say God will make your way. You can also make your way prosperous. But the way you make your way prosperous is by what you say. He said, put me in remembrance of my word. According to thy word, thou shalt be justified. When you see men who are going nowhere, they say whatever they want. Kings don't talk like that. Because where the word of the king is, there is power. Who can say unto him, what doest thou? When you talk just anything you want to say, your life will have no rhythm. Only speak positivity. Speak productivity. Speak success. Speak glory. Speak righteousness. Speak good. The devil will make you to utter the wrong things, either about yourself or about others. But every word you say, you are planting a seed. Some people may not say evil about themselves, but the devil manipulates them to say evil about others. And they think they are helping themselves. After a while, your life will trace the pathways of everything you utter. Because what you say is the compass of your destiny. Even God can't do anything until he speaks. The earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. God could do nothing about it until God said. 10 times, God said, the invisible realm appeared. And you were created in his image. What you say is what you will become. Most of us keep talking sickness. I'm having pain. I'm having headache. He said, let no man in Zion say, I'm sick. He said, when men are cast down, men are really cast down. He said, but you say, there's a lifting up. It's when you say that you can rise. It's not when you rise that you will say. These are simple, basic principles. But many don't know it. That's why they go nowhere. You will never catch me speak evil, either about myself or about others. It's not just because I'm good. It's because I know I will have what I say. When you speak, you are sowing seeds. I don't know whether this will work. When my wife took him, 3 prophets came and said she's a baby girl. 3 prophets. And these are accurate men. And I'm not saying their prophecy was not right. That was what they saw. Because they've seen many things before that came to pass. I was doing religion saying, well, whatever God gives me, I will take. One day, it hit my spirit that whatever you desire, when you pray, ask. I say, whatever I desire. I jumped up from the bed. I started shouting, he is a boy. Baby has already formed 5 months. But words change his gender. When I say the prophet has landed, I'm talking from somewhere. Because his gender was created by utterances. You joke with your words. You joke with your destiny. You are not an ordinary man. When you speak, spirits go to work. Do you not know? Most of you will leave this conference. Your thinking pattern will change and your utterances will change. Even when it's obviously not working, we will not say it. Because the devil wants to get you to say it so that you accept and agree with him. The Greek word is homologia.
when you speak, you are speaking in agreement. The demon comes to whisper to your head, you won't succeed. This project won't work. It won't work. It must work. Because the world was created in 6 days. The fastest way to get to your desired destiny is by speaking. And number three, because of our time, he said, when you speak in Joshua 1:8, he said, observe to do. Don't just speak. When you speak, he said, observe to do. In Acts chapter 1, verse 1, he said, of all that Jesus both began to do and to teach. We don't only talk, it's a profession. We say and we do. If you begin to speak and do, your destiny and your life will literally keep being catapulted to greater realms of glory. When you say you are a national prophet, then begin to pray and study. That's what prophets do. When you say you are an evangelist, begin to go out to win souls. When you say you are an academician, begin to read books and pass exams. Don't just speak and sit down. When you say you are a business merchant, begin to invest. Even if it's 100 cedis, invest it. Don't just speak. Speak and do. When you can do these three things, you will transit from glory to glory, whether the devil likes it or not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to pray for the sick now. We have 5 minutes. Hallelujah. 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 If you couldn't walk before, stand up and begin to walk. If you couldn't lift any part of your body, begin to lift it. I command pains to go now. Pains, go. I command ligaments, bones, receive strength. I command growth now, vanish, dematerialize. In the name of Jesus, every unwanted growth, I command you now, be gone. Growth in the breast, growth in the chest, growth in the tummy, growth on the chin, growth in the neck. In the name of Jesus, get out. I command ears open, eyes begin to see. Begin to see, ears begin to hear. Begin to hear. In the name of Jesus, I command pains, arthritis pains, be gone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website orocomichael.com to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.